So now I would like to read together the word of the Lord. Today's reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. The book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them and read them. For those in the worship hall or online, you can read the Japanese on the screen. From Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Everyone, don't you think you've heard the phrase, "It's been 3 years since this happened before," a lot lately? It has been 3 years since the corona disaster began, and I feel I have more opportunities to use the term 3 years since the last time, because I have been finally able to do things recently that I was not able to do during that time. These things have increased recently. For example, in November, there was the annual, except for recently, Tsuchira Fireworks Festival. It was held for the first time in 3 years and attracted many people from all over the country, making it more exciting than usual. Many events in the church were also being held or are being held for the first time in 3 years. And there are more being scheduled. Teens has an overnight stay called Kamameshi every year. The children stay together for one overnight, but although we call it an overnight stay, we couldn't have an overnight sleepover during the corona disaster. However, at our recent Kamameshi, we were able to have an overnight stay for the first time in 3 years. And by staying overnight, we were able to take our time to praise God, hear His word, and have a good time with our friends. Seeing the children enjoying themselves, I was also excited beyond my years. It had been 3 years. In these words, there is more joy than it expresses time, I think. During this corona disaster, perhaps I have felt that the fear and anxiety of the long darkness has eased. Although we cannot relax, yet we still have a sense, we have a hope, that the daily life we have been waiting for is slowly approaching. Many of us are looking forward to that time when our fears, our anxieties, will be completely removed. And when that time arrives, we will want to do this or that. Let's do this. Let's do that. I think many of us have those same feelings, those same thoughts. Today is the Lord's Day of the second week of Advent. We spend this period of time looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ of Christmas. Today's words from the Bible are from the first Christmas. The Advent period we are currently celebrating is about a month long. But the first event of waiting for Christmas was about 400 years ago, to compare to our 4 weeks. In Old Testament times, God's word was spoken directly to people or given through prophets. However, after the final prophecy in the Old Testament of the coming of the Savior to this world, God's word ceased to be spoken. This period we call the intermediate period. And in this age of the intermediate period, those to whom the Savior's prophecy was spoken waited even in the absence of God's word. Will it be tomorrow or the day after tomorrow? Will it be this year or next year? But the Savior was given to them only 400 years later. It was the first time in 400 years. After that period of time that Jesus came to them, it was the first glad tidings in 400 years. And those who received the word, those who received the news, what did they do? And this Christmas blessing that is coming to us now, what do we hear when we hear that joyful news? Starting with the word of God, let us think about it together. First, let us look at the first Advent for a better understanding. I mentioned earlier the 400 years of this intermediate period, and the people of God, Israel, did not experience a peaceful time. It wasn't simply a time of sitting and waiting. For 400 years, the land of Israel was ruled by Persia, Alexandria, Greece, Syria, and Rome. And for 400 years, their homeland was ruled by other nations. For 400 years, the possibility of the fulfillment of the prophecy was unthinkable. Throughout that time, pain and oppression continued. There is hope for salvation, but it was not fulfilled. There is hope for salvation, but the suffering continues. There is no end in sight. Will we be saved tomorrow? Will we be saved next year? And it was amid these thoughts that the next 400 years passed. Let me read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." After those 400 years, the news of the service birth, Savior's birth, is given to the shepherds. Let us consider shepherds for a moment. Shepherds, as the name implies, are the people who take care of sheep. When you hear this, what kind of image do you have? What image do you have when you hear the word shepherd? Do you think of them as being idyllic, tranquil, and relaxed? But in fact, however, being a shepherd is a very hard job. You have to work for the sheep all year round without a moment's rest. In spring, it's the time of year when the sheep give birth. Newborn lambs are very fragile, so you have to be very careful that they don't die. In summer, they're looking for a lot to eat, and they roam around looking for greener pastures. Another hard work is shearing the sheep, which is done in the summer as well. In the fall, the sheep are moved to warmer areas to prepare for winter. This is a great migration. And they prepare cut grass for winter feed. You see, in winter, there's less food. The weather is harsh. And so the sheep must be constantly watched to make sure they do not die. Of course, throughout the year, you have to be careful that the sheep do not get sick or injured, and that they're not attacked by wild animals. The whole year, you are on your toes when you are a shepherd. That's the profession of shepherding. Furthermore, 2,000 years ago, shepherding was considered a very lowly occupation. No matter what they did, how hard they worked or tried, their status never rises, and they were at the bottom of the social ladder. The shepherds were probably, even then, grieving over their state and current position. And they were tired and worn out. And to these shepherds, these lowly people, was given this joyful news. The Savior who had been waited for so long had finally been born. And these shepherds were the ones who received this news. For you who are mourning now, a Savior has been born. To me as well, for whom lamentation spills forth spontaneously, there was a Messiah born. This joyful news turns the lamentation of our hearts into joy. And so, once again, let us read Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Okay, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When the shepherds heard this joyful news, they got up and they went to Bethlehem. Now, let's go to Bethlehem and see what joyful facts the Lord has made known to us. Let's go. Let's find out. Let's confirm. Let's make sure. They had been camping out in the fields. They were in the middle of guarding their sheep. It was night. They were undoubtedly exhausted from working so hard that day. They were probably so sleepy they couldn't help themselves. The birth of a Savior does not mean that today's work will stop. Even so, they went to meet the Savior, saying, "Okay, let's go to Bethlehem." And so they went to meet the Savior. They put aside the excuses of anxiety and fear, of frustration, fatigue, dryness, busyness, and they went to see the Savior. They rejoiced in the Word of God for the first time in 400 years. Let's go to Bethlehem. These words come from the mouth of one who truly rejoices in God's Word. For me, and nobody else, the baby child was born. It's a sign for me, a sign that will fill me and joy will overflow. The joy that overflows. Okay, let's go. So who is the Savior? It was 2,000 years ago, and it's today. Why do we rejoice in the birth of Christ? The reason for that joy is in our salvation. Let's look in the Old Testament, the prophecy about Jesus. Let's look at Isaiah 42. Verses 1 to 4. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 to 4. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. Why is Jesus' salvation available to us? Why are we saved? Why did Jesus Christ come at Christmas? And that is because Jesus loves us. even though we are weak, even though we are sinful. He loves us as we are. Jesus does not break a bruised reed. He does not extinguish a smoldering lamp. A reed is a plant with a hollow stem. If it is slightly bruised and deteriorated, it will break at the slightest provocation. A smoldering flame will be extinguished by even the slightest breeze. Jesus accepts such weak existence as it is. He accepts us as we are. Jesus never fails. He never gives up. He sets up the right way forward as God shows us in this world and never gives up on us. This is Jesus' passion to save us. Jesus never lets go of the hand of those who are in darkness. The Gospels, the four Gospels, record Jesus' life. He saved the sick who were abandoned by doctors, as well as the hated tax collectors and even sinners who had committed serious sins. All people. He walked with them and he saved them. And now for us today, it's the same, is it not? No matter who you are, if you ask Jesus for salvation, he will surely respond to your request with zeal. Jesus, who accepts us just as we are, when we come before him, he knows our weaknesses. And yet he accepts us that way. He knows our sins. Jesus, who never breaks a bruised reed, accepts us too as we are. Those who have been sick will feel relief and joy when they recover. They feel relief and joy. When a person who has been in pain feels relief when the pain is removed, they will think, I've been helped, I'm saved. And the same is true about sin. Sin torments us. Being in sin is very painful. And so, with salvation from sin comes joy. We want to look away from sin. And so, salvation brings joy. The one who removes the sin that torments us is the Savior. He completes our salvation. He does not falter. In the end, he will always, always save us. And so, Jesus is a joy to us. We who spend Advent longing for Christmas, we have been given a Savior. The joyful news has arrived. And so, what will we do? We've been waiting so long for this salvation, and it has been given to us. And so, what do we do? Now that we have received the news, the great news, the glorious news of salvation, what shall we do? Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds went to Bethlehem to see Jesus. What they were given was confidence in the word and overflowing praise. When the news of salvation arrived, they believed the word, they acted on it. They gave overflowing thanks. And so let's go to Bethlehem. When they went into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were transformed into people who looked up to the Lord. They overflowed with joy and praise. They were no longer anxious. So let's go to Bethlehem. As we spend Advent, we too want to put these words in our own mouths. We want to look up to our Savior. Every year Christmas comes, and Advent. How do we spend that period? For me, I see my own figure saved by the Lord. Why is there such a salvation? Why can't I get away from my anxieties? I'm so busy. I'm tired. And every year it comes. It's all the same. And I feel the same every year. There are times as a husband, as a pastor, as a father, I use those as excuses. But during this period, one time, let us spend some time in the joy of the expectation and understanding of salvation. Our Savior was sent to us. It's all given to us. And even so, He calls to us, though we are weak and anxious. Why can we be joyful? Why won't you be joyful, he asks us. That's what I feel. But this Jesus who was born for me, he was born, Lord Jesus, for my sin, and he came to save me as my Savior from the pain of my sins, that I might testify of my salvation. And so, I would like to once again confirm and tell of this joy of salvation. And what is in our hearts now? Perhaps there's anxiety. Perhaps there is sadness. Is there an emptiness that comes from the thought that no matter what you do, nothing will change? Do you feel like you are failing because of your own weakness? Are you full of different fears? Is there loneliness from being misunderstood? Do you have a thirst that cannot be satisfied, a pain that cannot be quenched? Do we drown in the bitterness of our own sins? Let us remember that we have been given a Savior. And so, let us go to Bethlehem before the Lord. There is always praise there. The Lord who is there will surely receive us. And before the Lord, we will be transformed into people who sing praises before the Lord. We can be sure of that. I hope and pray that we who are looking forward to Christmas this year will be among those who go and stand before the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. You love us, and we who are troubled by sin, to us you have given a Savior, and we give you thanks from our hearts. O Lord, O God, the Savior that we waited for so long gives us joy and saves us from our pain and sadness. The joy that Jesus was given to us, let us express it. And so, let's go to Bethlehem. Let us go see the Lord. We are worried. We have troubles. We have fears. And yet, all of those, there's one who will save us. Let us remember that. And as we go before the Lord, please change us into those who can rejoice. In the name of the Lord of Christmas, Jesus, we pray. Amen.